Courtney, hey, everybody out there, remember high school PE? You get out there and they get you out there and it's cold and it's in the morning. Somehow I always ended up with first period PE. I don't understand that. I'm not a morning person. And the coach would get out there and he'd be like, okay, it's time for jumping jacks. Now, I am the most uncoordinated human being in the world. I want you to know that. My wife will tell you anytime that I've tried to dance, that does not work too well at all. So me doing jumping jacks is kind of a, you don't want to see it. It's really not pretty. But I understand the reason behind jumping jacks in the morning before the PE class. Anybody know what the reason was? Yeah, get your blood flowing. So I want you to do your spiritual jumping jacks right. I don't know what that is. I don't know whether you got to wave this way or wave that way or whatever it is. But I want you to get your spiritual jumping jacks on because I don't want you to be listening. I want you to be engaged. Can we work on being engaged this morning? There you go. Yes, sir. They're good. That's engagement. Richard, happy birthday. You're very welcome. I have a very smart computer that tells me a lot of things when I wake up in the morning. And one of the things it told me that it was Richard Pelosi's birthday this morning. Good to have you here. Well, I got a little bit of a small crowd this morning. But that's all right. Jesus. That's okay. Speaking of 12, John last night did 12. He took 12 over town. They're still over town. He'll be back around 11 o'clock. They went to the Angels game. And he took 12, well, yeah, he took 12 guys, I think they're all guys, yeah, 12 guys along with him. It was really kind of a good wrap-up to the Wild Men West is what it was. He actually took 11 and 1, kind of like Jesus did, 11 and 1. There were 11 Angel fans and one Pittsburgh fan. And the score was 6-1 Pittsburgh at the end, so I'm not sure how well he was loved at the end of the night. But, you know, well, I'm sure Derek had a lot of fun at least. I'm sure there was a lot of joy in it. I miss Brian. He was gone over town. I think this is Brian's first trip back to the mainland since he showed up at our door here a while ago. Y'all know Brian, and I think this is his first trip back to the mainland. He's starting to get his feet underneath him. But I missed him ringing the bell this morning. So it's like, oh, the bell didn't ring. Ah, because he found a passion with that. You know, it's fun, all the different people that come wandering in downstairs there. I get to meet all kinds of people. And it's summertime like this where I really begin to see a variety of people. This is a typical weekend, starting usually about mid-afternoon, someone will come in and say, I don't have a place for the night. I don't have a place for the night. I don't have a place for the night. It just kind of keeps going throughout the day. I've had, I think, up to 13 people sleeping downstairs at one point in time. Right now, I've got about 3 that have said, I don't have a place tonight. And that's okay. That's okay. Well, are we here for that, church? Is that what we're here for? Yeah. I mean, we've got to be here for that, or what the heck are we doing? Okay, if we're not living out our mission in life here, then we're not living. It's as simple as that. This morning, I want to talk to you first, before I talk to you about what you'll find in your bulletin, which is a little breakdown of some missionaries that we support. It's probably on a yellow sheet, something like that, and it's got pretty pictures on it. And it's something to distract you. If you feel like not listening to me, you're welcome to read that, but it's all you have permission to do. No checking your phone or internet surfing while I'm on. But I want to talk to you this morning about 4 reasons why we should be passionate about missions. And I was thinking over that whole term last night, am I really passionate about missions? And I am. I am. I realized it is my lifeblood. It is where I've been ever since I came here. I'm passionate about the mission because the Spirit led me to be passionate about the mission. And I'm thinking, well, that's a good enough reason. It's just the Spirit led me to be passionate about the mission. But the truth of the matter is I'm passionate because Jesus was passionate about missions. Jesus was on a mission. He was in a foreign mission field. He walked onto this earth and said, wow, I care today. I care today about Alex. I care today about Matthew. I care today about every one of you. And I'm going to try and tell you what it means to know the Father. Remember we talked about that last week, if you were here? By the way, I'm very dry mouthed. Sweetheart, Could you see if in the office I have a bottle of water, please? I'm sorry. I just kind of like, you got any jumping jacks, anybody? Jumping jacks? No? That's okay. Okay. I'd like you to read with me Matthew 28. Okay? And if you turn to Matthew 28, and although you'll find it on the back of the bulletin, it's on the screen behind me and all that good stuff, I really like it when you open up your Bibles because we get to see context around. Now, you always have my permission to ignore me completely and read whatever is in the scripture in front of you. Matter of fact, I encourage you that as the Spirit leads, that you would do that. Thank you very much, love. That's my beautiful wife, by the way, right there, in case you hadn't noticed her. Ron and Mary Lou, by the way, are up at Genesee Home. Genesee Home is a pastoral retreat up in Northern California. And this is kind of their yearly getaway, just kind of the two of them to reset life. So you can be praying for them throughout this week. Would you be doing that for Ron and Mary Lou? That'd be really good. Okay, I want to read to you Matthew. Now let's get some context. Matthew 28 is the last chapter in one of the Gospels telling the story of Jesus Christ, right? It's one of the last books. Now, these disciples have been walking along with him for a long time. Now, I want you to get this. This is the last thing that Jesus is going to say to him while he's on earth. There's nothing else that he's going to say before he ascends. These are his last words, and I want to read them to you. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Oh, what? You know, you ever run across that? They've spent all these years with Jesus. They've watched him go to the cross. He's risen. He's risen. They celebrate the fact that he's risen. He says, come and join me on the mountain. They go to the mountain, and the scripture says some of them doubted. How? Don't you hear some people say sometimes, you know, well, if I'd seen Jesus and I'd walk with Jesus, maybe I could believe in this Jesus of yours, but he's just some guy that's not really there. You know, I don't know whether Jesus really came back or not. These people watched it and they doubted. How did they doubt? How did they doubt? Why were they doubting? Think about that. But think about who they are. Remember, I told you last week, I like you to put yourself into the seat. So I got to make yourselves one of the disciples this morning. You're sitting there at Jesus' feet. He's talking to you, and he's giving you final words. Now, maybe you're not really sure what this Jesus guy is doing. You've walked with him a long time. You get an idea that something's coming to an end here. He's really made it quite clear that something's coming to an end. And you got some doubt going on inside of you. You don't know exactly what's going to happen. And Jesus says to this, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. There's four thoughts there that Jesus left them with. Four thoughts he really wanted them to know. One, go make disciples. He didn't say go evangelize. Okay? He didn't say go out and tell people my story and what it is about me and get them to say a prayer and then move on. He said go make disciples. Go be with them. Go tell them about me. You ever stop to think about when the disciples came to understand that Jesus was who he is and who he claimed to be? And it became firm and deep down in their soul? I'll tell you in a while. But even some of them sitting there still needed more discipling before they would understand that. So Jesus is sending them out to do something they're not really sure how to do to make disciples. Because they're still doubting, some of them are still doubting themselves, but he's looking at this group of men and he's saying, go and make disciples. And then he's saying, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We just take that kind of as an everyday thing. But this is a whole new concept. I mean, they're baptizing. Are we supposed to continue the? How is this different than the baptism that Jesus experienced and the baptism that John did? And how are we supposed to make this work? And what's going on, God? I don't know how to do this. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Oh my gosh, what are all the things he commanded? What did he tell them to do? What's he telling me? And surely I am with you. Surely I am with you even to the end of the age. And then what happens? Bye. He begins to rise up. He's transfigured. He's changed. And he goes away. Okay, come on. How do you feel right now? Come on. How do you feel? You're looking at Jesus going, you just gave us all that? How do you feel? Like, yeah, very good, Ben. It's like, what's going on here? I don't get this. See, but Jesus passionately gave them this command to do these things. And they're just, I don't know what's going on. Now, keep that thought in mind, because I hope to fill in some of these blanks as we go along. Let me go straight to reason number two. Reason number two that we should be passionate about missions is found back in Matthew 28, first, teaching them to obey all the things which I have commanded you. What did Jesus say were the two greatest commandments? Love God. Look with me at Matthew 22. You must love the Lord your God. Matthew 22, 36. You must love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That's what Jesus commanded them. Not with part of your heart, part of your soul, part of your mind. You must love him with all of it. And a second is equally important, not a step down from important, not a little less important, but equally important. Love your neighbor with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. I'm putting that in there because it's supposed to be equal, right? So how are you supposed to love that person sitting next to you? As you love whom? God, engage me. I warn you, jumping jacks are coming. You failed to engage me. There's going to be jumping jacks in this church this morning. And I'm not sure the floor can take it. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commands. See, if you look at these through the eyes of Matthew 28, if you look at Matthew 25 through the eyes of Matthew 28, you see that this is the command that we're to take out into the nations, that the disciples are to take out into the nations, is in discipling them, we teach them to obey two very difficult commands. Because anybody's lying to you if they say that these are simple commands. These sum up all of the previous law. These take all the previous law, combine it all together, and say, this is it. This is what it distills down to. That's never easy to come to. That's not an easy calling, but it's what Jesus called us to. Love God and love him. So we need to be passionate about our mission, about foreign missions, about local missions. I'm going to talk to you some more about that. Because two reasons. Jesus was passionate. He told you to love all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And then the third reason is what I call the I was. The I was. And this is one that has driven me a lot in my life. When my passion starts to fade, when my love for God is not quite there, when my love for people certainly is not there, then the I was comes into play. And let me just show you the I was. Thank you. If you did it to the least of one of these, you did it to me. Days when I really don't want to get the phone call that says there's someone down at the church that wants to talk to you. Days when I get the phone call from my kids that says, Dad, I nearly need to talk to you. Days that one of the people that I've come to know and love in Haiti, I look and the phone's ringing. I really don't want to answer that phone because I know that there is a, I was behind it. I was hungry. I was thirsty. I am in jail. Whatever that I was, I really would prefer to avoid it. I remember who's calling me. I remember who's standing there. And I remember it's Jesus. Is that a radical concept to you? Is that a radical concept to you? Think about it. The next time the need comes before you, it is not whoever you think it is. It is Jesus Christ standing in front of you. Come on, wrap your mind around that. It's scary. It scares me on a regular basis now. Those words from Matthew 25, 31 through 40, where we respond to him in heaven, and he's saying, when did we see you? We saw you when we saw those who came seeking. That's when we saw you. And if that doesn't give you joy, to know that you've been given that, that doesn't give you passion, I don't know what gets you passionate. To have the idea that Jesus is giving you the opportunity to serve him and meet his needs. Ooh, ow, that just hurts your head sometimes when you think about it. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all wrapped in one, the Trinity all together has come to me and said, I'm hungry. What do you do with that? But I think my most compelling reason, the reason that really drives me, on top of the fact that Jesus was passionate, on the top of the fact that he commanded me to go and love and to live that out in my mission, on top of the fact that Jesus could be standing before me as I'm on a mission, is one big one. And I'll take a little more video assistance. I want you to see this from the perspective of two men who have been called to missions in another country. And I want you to think about where they might be.
The mission work is, I everyday refer mission like coming from your comfort zone to the combat zone. For instance, somebody coming from America where everything is nice for you to enjoy, to come and live in the jungles of Africa where pleasure is so hard, even no electricity or something like that. It's not easy. But yet, for the sake of the Lord, I know Jesus Christ gave his life, so there is nothing I can pay that is more than that. So I've gone through many things.
I know that there are going to be challenges. I know difficult and dangers are all around. I know I could lose my life and our colleagues could lose their life. I'm aware of the reality that I'm going to be away from my family. I'm aware of all these risks available. I know I could be in prison because I know in the Muslim countries, it's illegal to really proselyte or convert somebody to become a Christian. But yet still, the word of God must still go forward despite the chains that are there for us. We miss dear ones, but yet still, we have to go there and make sure we proclaim the good news.
I encourage our brothers from all walks of life to let their life be a vessel for the Lord to use. The greatest joy in life, the greatest fulfillment in life, is to place our life in the hands of God to use to glorify His own name. If you are able to avail yourself for the Lord to use, for His name to be glorified, you have accomplished the greatest task in this world, which will have impact on your life today and eternity. So this is my little encouragement to every human being that has come into the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest fulfillment is to let your life be in the will of God.
God, nothing less, nothing more, nothing else. That's the will of God up there. That we would live out lives like that. So the fourth reason to go and be on a mission for the Lord Jesus Christ is it's not safe. Are you tired of living safe? Jesus did not call you to safe. Following Jesus is not about being safe and comfortable and good and et cetera, et cetera. It's a lie. It is just a flat-out lie, been perpetuated throughout European history, been perpetuated throughout American history. Our lives every day must be preparation for what is to come in eternity. It's a radical thought, and one that the church has preached for years. And oftentimes, just to no avail. Just to no avail. Because you'll probably leave here this morning, your life won't change. It won't look any different than when it came in here. For one of two reasons. One, you're already living unsafe. You're already living depending upon Jesus every single day. Or two, you heard words, but there was no spirit inside of you to absorb those things. Remember what it said that the disciples doubted? You want to know why they doubted? Because he had not yet come. The Pentecost had not yet come. The Spirit, the Comforter, the one whom they would then wait for had not yet come. Everybody remember what happened on Pentecost? Jumping jacks. Wow! He comes rolling in. There's fire, there's wind. The Spirit is rolled into the room and He's done it in a discernible way. If that hasn't happened inside of you, I'm sorry. You don't know Jesus. You know of Him. You know who He was, but you need to get the grip on Him. You need to understand that Spirit, which really, you know, there's a fifth reason. That's all there is to it. There's a fifth reason to be passionate for missions. I went video crazy today, okay? I was all done. I'd all finished. I had my clothes ready to go. And then I ran across this little video. And I said, oh my gosh, does this sum it up? Does this put it all together? Does this tie it into last week? I'll take it. One more. Thank you. willing to dream again? Are you willing to live a life that changes the world? Not a perfect life. It's not easy. It's not safe. It's not perfect in any way. But Matthew 13:44 says this: the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. And in his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy that. See, the fifth reason that we have got to live like that, the fifth reason we've got to live that is you reflect Jesus. Remember last week, you reflect Jesus who now lives within you, that Spirit lives within you. Paul says it's not a perfect reflection. God knows you're not supposed to be perfect. If you didn't make any mistakes, you aren't living for Jesus. You're living safe. Okay? Mistakes will come. If you didn't make any mistakes, then you need to get down on your knees and pray for one, because pride comes then. We start thinking we are better. We start mistaking ourselves for Jesus when we see that reflection. We start thinking we are the ones doing it. We start thinking that we are the ones with the power. We start thinking that we have the capability. Second Corinthians says, now all of this, all of us, with our faces unveiled, in other words, seeing Jesus, reflect the glory of the Lord as if we are mirrors, and so we are being transformed, metamorphosed into the same image of the one radiance of the glory, one radiance of glory to the other, just as the Spirit of the Lord accomplish it. You reflect Jesus, but you reflect the Jesus that washed feet. You reflect the Jesus that cared for the poor. You reflect the Jesus that loved all the way to the cross. Are you ready to live like that? Will you live like that? This all started out because I just wanted to tell you about our missionaries. And I realized I can't tell you about our missionaries without telling you what drives them. I got to tell you what drives our missionaries. It makes no sense for them to be where they are and doing what they're doing. So, we've done our spiritual jumping jacks. Now we're going to get down to the work and we're going to see what our missionaries are doing. I want to show you this. I want to show you this. I want you to see that we are all on a mission. We have a lot of missions in action. And I want to point this out to you. If you haven't pulled out this little yellow thing, it's almost kind of a come down. We've done our jumping jacks. Scott got excited up front. Hopefully your souls or spirits are stirred. So now we're just going to go into some of the hard work of seeing what our missionaries look like. These are our first missionaries. I wish I had pictures of one of you guys holding signs, but I didn't think that far enough ahead. So yes, these are stock photos. I'm sorry. You know, what do I say? But those are supposed to be you doing these things, living for Jesus, following Jesus together. See, this is you going to here. Here. There. This is you going to there. Where's there? It's not Haiti. That's the West End. That's Catalina. See, that's our first and foremost mission. If you're not living it out here, don't go out in the foreign mission field. Don't go there without the passion, the mission, the drive that you should be living out every day right here. If you're not on a mission here, you can't be on a mission out there, because it's the same mission. And some people live it out for lifetimes. I pray you guys will. Our oldest missionaries, those who have been here for the longest, been supported by us for the longest time, are this couple, which you can hardly see them, and trust me, the picture was not that good before it got up on the screen. It was best we could find, because they are not people to step in the limelight. We've actually had Solomon and Margaret Oladella visited us. Solomon has passed on, and Matthew, his son, have come in. They have an orphanage and school in Uganda. They are Ugandans, so they are serving right where they are at. Okay? And so we as a church, for as long as I know, Janny, it's been pretty much for as long as you know. I mean, we have been supporting this mission, sending money to it every month for just as long as I know. They've come and visited us a couple times. We support them because they're faithful in what they're doing, because they're living out their life of passion. We have some homegrown missionaries, too, that are on your little sheet there that I want you to know. I got about 5 more minutes here. Dennis and Corrine Holt, you're going to see them here this month, July 28th. Here next month. That's right, we're still in June. Ow, I'm trying to move it along too fast. July 28th, Dennis will be here teaching and telling about what's happening with them out in Georgia. Dennis and Corrine came from this island, went out, and now have established their mission in Tbilisi, Georgia. No, that is not near Atlanta. Okay? That is right near, the Ukraine, Russia. And they have established themselves, lived there. They're there with their daughter, Tia. And their two sons, Jesse. Jesse's in YWAM with the film school. Why am I telling you this, guys, stuff, by the way? Why am I telling you this? Come on. There's a reason. Dream again. Dream about them. Pray about them. This could be things God's calling you to. Imagine that. You're fulfilling your mission here, and God's calling you out to something like this. Imagine. It could happen. Okay. Justin and Stephanie, another homegrown couple, used to be here. She led worship in this church. And God called them, but called them not into a foreign, strange mission. He called them to go with, Village Churches. What they did is Justin went to seminary, graduated from seminary, and said, I'm going to go to churches that can't afford to have a pastor. I'm going to go to little small towns that can't afford to have a pastor, and I'm going to help struggling churches. And that's what he's done. He's done it in Kentucky, various places. For a number of years now, he's been in Mammoth. All this time. I want you to be praying for them. By the way, besides getting passionate, I want you to pray. I want you to pray a whole bunch. You can be praying for Justin. He's still recovering from a heart attack. And as far as I know, health-wise, he's doing okay now. But can I say 9,000 feet? Okay, give me air. Okay? The last place I would want to be living with a heart issue would be in Mammoth. And I think about that quite frequently. Andrew and them just made their way up to the lake, and every time I go up to this cabin that my family has up in June Lake, I always like, I love it, it's pretty, it's nice, but somebody give me air. Okay. So those were two of our homegrown missionaries. Now, we've been for a long time. God called them, said, you're on mission here in Catalina, now let me take you somewhere. For a long time, and that's Campus by the Sea InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Those faces change constantly. They change constantly. But the mission has never changed. Janny, come on, you're my historian today. 60s? Is that when it started? You think it was the 50s? 50s, okay. I mean, they've been doing that stuff out there for a long time. They're on a mission. And they're passionately working with InterVarsity to bring kids to know that. To bring young adults in their college years to know that. Matthew 28. They're teaching and preaching it all the time. And we have lots of people that pass through there and then we get connected with and they come into the church and God moves them on in different places. Going out from Campus by the Sea were two that we came to love dearly. Susie Vian. Last I checked, she was serving in, she's not there at the moment, although she's still attached there, serving in one of the most strange and foreign places in the world, Berkeley, California. I was in the California University system for a short while in University of Los Angeles. Went to visit Berkeley back in 73. Okay, now I want you to take Berkeley and 73 and put that together. That was the strangest hippie freak place I ever went to in my life. I was an ROTC boy who just looked at that and went, oh, really? And when Susie told me she was being transferred to Berkeley, I was like, oh my gosh, I'd rather go to Haiti. Please send me to Africa, send me somewhere. I don't know. You know, things have changed over the years. Right now she's in Uganda. She has a real passion for an orphanage down in Uganda, and there's been a lot of connections to that. So keep her in prayer. She's led a team from the college up there. She's led them down into Uganda. The other ones are the Wolves. The Wolves go to Romania and Ukraine. They started doing summer camps there back when it had just barely come out from being under the Soviet Union. And they started doing summer camps and bringing the word of Christ to people that hadn't heard it for years. And now they're deeply involved in that area. They spend a lot of time here in the U.S., but they're there every summer. Please be praying for their grandson, Joshua. He was born recently without a chamber in his heart, and the doctors are doing surgeries. I think he's 4 months old, 3 months old. What do you think, darling? Yeah, 3-4 months old, somewhere in there. Let me introduce you to a few more of our own. Alex Hobbs. You guys ran across Alex, you know, surfer dude. I'll tell you, this boy sat down and told me about what he's doing with surfers, Christian surfers. And suddenly I saw the boy had become a man, and this passion that was in him was amazing. If you can support this young man, I urge you to do so. And there's Matt Hoffman. Matt is one of those guys, he's kind of like Brian. He's going to be behind the scenes, and he's going to ring a bell, and he's going to make sure everything's ready for you. And God called him to Tokyo to do that. Don't know why. His parents sure don't. They don't understand. But I think he's been there 10 years now. One of them that didn't make it onto the list is one that's near and dear to us, YWAM Ships. To places where ports, where the gospel needs to go. We've got a whole look at all the different things that we've been involved in. World Vision 30-Hour Famine. We'll have someone from Jews for Jesus here this week. Got Russian Leadership Ministries. Oh, did you miss Operation Christmas Child? By the way, I need someone to take that on because I'm really sad. Bert and Cindy decided their mission was to be in Texas. So anybody want to get involved in Operation Christmas Child this year? But I saved the best for last. Okay, I admit it. I'm a little prejudiced, saving the best for last here. Jonathan Willis. Jonathan grew up here. Jonathan was a good kid in my youth group. Grew up a good boy, and then somewhere about 17, just went off the rails. Never did quite figure out why, even though he's told me. He got older and laughed at him and played with him. He went out and killed somebody. And it took that for Jesus to get a hold of him. It took that depth of sin for him to change his life around. I have more respect for this man than I can tell you. And the people within this prison system have more respect for this man than you can imagine. We're going to talk about him today. We're having a little luncheon downstairs at noon today. We're going to talk about, we just had four people go visit, right, Tammy? Four? There were four of you? Good. Go visit him. He's tied us into his chaplain, Jerry Briggs, that's there, who just speaks of him all the time. Because Jerry says, boy, you just see Jesus in this man all the time. You talk to him, and there is a man, somebody I want to be like. And that is really weird. To feel like you want to be like a man who's spending his life in prison. Sometimes I'm envious because I know that every day he gets up and his only passion is Jesus. There's nothing else distracting him. He'll never know a wife. He'll never know children. He's an amazing guy. And to wrap it up, I saved my favorite person for last. This one, my little missionary, comes and visits my house once in a while now, running off to Haiti. But she keeps connecting us too. I mean, it's not just, okay, we're going to go to Haiti and work in a little orphanage. No, no, it's got to keep connecting. We end up with Richard and Beverly, great folks that we're staying with, and now we as a church are supporting. They have a mission to keep kids in their homes in Haiti. We work with Pastor and Madame at the orphanage. We got connected to them. We've just discovered that there's a whole ministry going on. Our little orphanage sits right on the street, and back behind it, there's all these little houses filled with single moms trying to raise their kids. And we discovered this woman has moved in. She moved in amongst them. She ended up marrying a Haitian from amongst them. And now she's bringing the love of Jesus and trying to get these moms to hang on to their kids. You can't understand how it works in Haiti. I mean, people in their desperation give kids to orphanages because they know they can't stand to watch them starve anymore. So they give their kids away. And she's there in the middle of them, working with them. Stacy is her name. You'll hear more about Stacy in the future. And then we discovered, oh man, some of the things, we'd go back to the orphanage and it's like, wow, this changed. I wonder who else is here. We discovered this Justice Water and the Robinsons, Stephanie and Ryan Robinson, had been coming in. And we want to tell you about some of this. So what we're doing today is we're doing lunch, okay? Katie Joe's is giving us lunch. We're coming in. They're going to bring it on. Well, I guess John's picking it up, actually. John's going to pick up lunch. And we're going to have just a time of sitting down and hearing about Jonathan Willis in the prison, get an update on Haiti. If you got noon free, would you come and join us? Would you come and just spend a little time with us? I hope today that your spirit was stirred. I really hope that something inside of you went flip-flop. I hope you became a little more sure of your passion for Christ. Toby's going to wrap things up here for me. But I really, really don't want you to walk away just going, okay? If you walked away going, I urge you to come the next two Sundays. Because Pastor Ron and I have some things planned for you around the 4th of July that I hope will continue to encourage your heart to love in the name of Jesus, to do in the name of Jesus, to live a life full of passion. You do that for me. Go out and live a life because of passion. Reflect Jesus every day. Love you guys. Love you. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk.